Last week we talked about this blessed man, and we said, first of all, that he was separated from the world. Notice that he was separated from the world, that he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he didn't stand in the way of sinners, and he didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But we read in verse 2 that he is saturated in the word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we talked about
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze,
founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2.
In the Psalm 1, I'm sure if I ask many of you, you could come up here and just quote it, but we'll read it. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, the Torah, of God, of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Two men, two ways, two destinies. Last week we talked about this blessed man, and we said, first of all, that he was separated from the world. Notice that he was separated from the world, that he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he didn't stand in the way of sinners, and he didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But we read in verse 2 that he is saturated in the word, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we talked about the three T's there, the treat, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and we talked about his treasure, which was the law of the Lord. We talked about his technique, which was meditation, and then we said his time, which was day and night. And then we saw that he is situated by the water. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So we said that he has fruit in season. That it says, the scripture says he has fruit in his season. He has foliage out of season, that whenever it's out of season, there's still leaves, that his leaf does not wither. Now, again, I'm kind of running through this real quick and going over the highlight because we did that in detail last week. And then we talked about he has fortune in every season, which is prosperity. It says that whatever he does shall prosper. Now, as we flip the script, we want to look at this ungodly man. We want to look at this ungodly man. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that I'm going to move through the first part of this pretty quick, because as we look at the ungodly man, we can kind of cast that off on somebody else and say, well, you know, he's talking about, you know, that wicked guy that's doing all kind of evil things. But, you know, sometimes Christians, and let's be honest, we have ungodly ways. And so I want to move past this ungodly man. We're going to do this rather quickly because I want the message to be applicable. I want us to see that even though we might not be ungodly people, that we might have ungodly ways, and that the Lord would challenge our heart. I know that as I went through this, I just asked the Lord, Father, you know, where's my heart? in this. You know, I know that as a child of God, that I am a saint. Now, I say to the people of God sometimes, I'll say, God bless you, saints. And I'll say, praise the Lord, saints. And then invariably, somebody from time to time will say, well, I'm not a saint. I say, well, you know, you really didn't, not living up according to your biblical name. Because Paul, now, and I always go back to 1 Corinthians, right? That you go back there and you go through 1 Corinthians. They were dealing with pride. They were dealing with egotism. They had a man who was living in open sexual immorality. They were taking each other to court. They were eating meat offered to idols. Their marriage policies were just all out of order. There was confusion at the communion table. They were confused about the whole doctrine of tongues. I mean, the church of Corinth was just a mess. But yet, Paul said he greeted them as what? Saints. Saints. So he wasn't actually referring to their actions. He was referring to their position. That in Christ, we are all saints. That if you know Jesus Christ, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a saint. But you know, let's be honest, that sometimes we as saints, we can have ungodly ways. And so I heard a preacher say one time, sometimes the saints ain't. So hopefully you don't fall into that category this morning of being a saint who ain't. But as we go on, let's look at this ungodly man. First thing we see, now notice here that verse 4. Look what it says in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. What does that mean? That speaks volumes right there. Because you know what it's saying? Everything that's true of the blessed man is the exact opposite of the ungodly man. Wow. I mean, you know, he didn't even have to go spell it out. He puts this thing in order in the first three verses, and he says, you see this blessed man? Well, everything about the ungodly man is the exact opposite. Wow. So we see that he's actually saturated in the world. That he finds his fellowship in the world, that his compadres are in the world, that his fun is in the world, his entertainment is in the world, his character is rooted in the world. He is saturated in the world, the ungodly man. And you know, you look at television and you look at read magazines, and there are some ungodly people in the world. They might be good people, but they're ungodly. That they have the wrong, they don't think like God thinks. They don't feel the same way you do about spiritual things. That they are just ungodly. So what is an ungodly person? An ungodly person is an individual that goes against things that God believes, that God has put in his word, and practices things that God says that we shouldn't do. That is the ungodly person. So we see that the ungodly person is saturated in the world. You know, I remember talking to a guy, and he was telling me that he just had one objective. And his one objective in life was to make as much money as he could. That's saturated in the world. I mean, again, you know, we read the scripture, and God wants to bless us. God wants us to have things. But if your goal in life is to see how much money you can make, you are saturated in the world. Just think about some people that their sole objective is to become an entertainer. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with becoming an entertainer. But that's their whole life. And they get into, you know, the whole scene. It's interesting. We come up to the awards season, right? You see all these awards. And this is what some people have lived for their whole life. That it's been void of any spiritual righteousness, void of any connection with God. But now this is what? This is my spotlight. This is my time to shine. And so when you do that apart from God, no relationship with God, then you are saturated in the world. Now, again, there's a lot of fine Christians who are in Hollywood. There are a lot of fine Christians who are in media. And they've learned how to have a relationship with God and balance that with their career, but there's still a connection with God. But there are some people, absolutely no connection, and they have just lived for themselves. You know, you think of, they were interviewing me about Tony Dungy. And I said, you know, here's a guy that you see him on TV, you know, and you have a tendency to think that, you know, this guy's a great analysis. He's a great sportscaster. And you know what? And that's the only context that some people know Tony Dungy in. They see him as being that great commentator. But praise God, there are people here at Bethany. They know that this brother is connected at the root level to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure there are other analysis. There are other commentators that's what they live their life. They saturated. And again, they become saturated in the world. Anything that we do apart from Christ in our own desire, in our own selfishness, then there's a tendency to be flesh driven and to be saturated in the world. And so we see that this ungodly man is unsaturated in the world. The second thing we see is that he is separated from the word. Again, look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Everything said about the godly man or the blessed man is the exact opposite of the ungodly. So whereas the blessed man, he is saturated in the word, what do we say about the ungodly man? That he is separated from the word. You know how you can tell when people, even Christians, are backslidden? They start to what? Separate from the word. You know, they don't read the Bibles anymore. They don't come to church anymore. That they are separated from the word. Like we said this blessed man, his hunger, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, he can't wait to get to a place where he can expose his soul, that he can open up his soul and expose it to the light of God's word. That's the blessed. But you know, the ungodly man, he's like, you know, I remember when I was growing up. I'm not going to say when I was growing up. I'm going to say when I was probably 18-year-old and I was doing the things that I wanted to do. That I went to a party, and we were at this party, and all of a sudden the electricity went out. And it went out for about a minute, and then when the electricity came back on, you know, we all had little drinks and stuff, and then when it came back on, man, there was roaches everywhere. I mean, there was roaches all over the glass and everything. And when you turn the lights on, the roaches, they scatter, right? And you know what? That's the way it is to a person that don't want to be exposed to the light of God's word. That when it's dark, oh man, they come out, right? They come out and they rejoice and they get excited and they crawl all around. But as soon as wherever the light is, when you crack the light, you know, you're getting back into the dark place. And so the ungodly man is separated from the word. Go to that next slide, please. So let's do a comparison. Let's do a comparison. I asked the AV people, was the PowerPoint going to be up? Because I said my message this morning is PowerPoint driven. We're teaching. We're doing more teaching this morning than we are preaching. But we're going to get to some preaching too. Let's look at the comparison. Okay, first of all, the blessed man is like a fruitful tree. Right? He's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And what happens? The waters, the sunshine, the nourishment, the roots sink deep, and then it springs forth, and it brings forth fruit. So one of the things that we have to ask ourselves as Christians, as children of God, do you have fruit? What's the evidence of your fruit? When you look at your life, can you see things that are coming from the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, suffering, long-suffering, and self-control. Are you exhibiting fruit? Are you ministering to other people? Are you letting your light shine? Are you praising God? Is there fruit in your life? The things that you set out to do as you have trusted God to ask you, Lord, show me what to do, and he has shown you what you're supposed to do. Are you accomplishing those things? He shall be like a fruitful tree. Well, what about the ungodly? What is his comparison? Look what it said in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. This is an interesting analogy. You know what? And I really, you know, I just meditated on this song. And I began to go back and I began to see these things. That fruitful tree, chaff in the wind. What was chaff? That they would bring the barley and the grain, corn, whatever it might be, and they would put it on this sieve. And they would throw it up in the air, and the real kernels would come back on the sieve, and they would do it most likely on a windy day. And so as they did it, the chaff would kind of fly in the air, and the wind would just blow it away. What is one thing that we can surmise and conclude about the chaff? That is worthless. That is worthless. The ungodly are like the chaff that the wind blows away. That all the good that you can do as an ungodly person. You know, I think of people who are philanthropists that do some good work. You know, I mean, they do some good work, and we need people to do that on this earth. But in the end, if they did it for their own recognition and they did it for their own pride, it is what? It's like chaff in the wind. It's worthless. And you know, somebody put it like this: only one life and it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we can have philanthropic efforts on this earth today. And you know what? Praise God for them. You know, thank God for these deeds that are helping people out. But in the end, and I know this is hard to receive because this is hard for me to say. In the end, it's just like chaff. That we don't work to get saved, but we work because we are saved. Any works that you would try to do, no matter if you build orphanages and you do this and do that, any works that you will try to do, they are only on this earth. And they have nothing. You know, before you get saved, and this is a hard thing to hear, before you get saved, any good works, any good deeds that you did had no bearing on your salvation. Absolutely no bearing at all. You know, we have a couple verses, right? Isaiah. He said, all of your righteousness is like a filthy rag. A filthy rag, and you've heard me preach again. I don't want to go through that analogy, but you know what it's talking about. And what is good for the rag is good for nothing but to be thrown away. Paul said in Ephesians that we are not saved by our works, but we're saved by the grace of God. And that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of what? Works. Lest anybody should boast. So anything that we do before we get saved has no eternal value, no lasting value. But once you become a child of God, if you follow through in that second chapter of Ephesians, Philippians, he said that because we are saved, that we do work. And that when we work now as a believer, that we are sending up our treasures and they're being laid up for us in heaven. And so even the most godly of ungodly, wicked person, no matter what they do, is still, in the end, going to be like chaff. And that's sad. That's sad. That you can help a lot of people in this life, but you can't help yourself get into heaven. You can help a lot of people here, but your life has been like chaff that blows in the wind. It's been worthless. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I want my life to count for something. I realize that. Let me go back and say this now. Remember the Pharisees that when they did good deeds, remember they did good deeds, and they'd be walking down the street and they would see a homeless man or they would see a poor man and they would stop and they would, all right, blow the trumpets. And they'd blow the trumpets. Now, what's going to happen when you start blowing trumpets? Everybody is going to stop and what? Look to see what's going on. And then you get down and reach into your pocket and here you go, my man. Receive this. And you give it. And you remember what Jesus said? Remember what Jesus said? He said when they got their praise, right then, that was their reward. That was their reward. I pray to God that what I do, and I know some of it might, can you give me my handkerchief there, Will? I know that some of it might be chaff, but I hope that the majority of what I do for the Lord is gold, is silver, and precious stone. Amen. Amen. The next thing we see is that the blessed man, where is his congregation? Right? It says he does not stand in the congregation of sinners. The blessed person. You know, we go back, we read the verse. It says in verse 1 that this man does not walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, I talked about this at length last week, but just let me ask the question and just to bring us back, remind us, where are you walking? Where do your travels take you? Does it take you into the counsel of the ungodly? Where are you standing at? That, you know, when you're walking, you know, that's one thing, but where are you standing at? Where do you find yourself standing at? You know, this morning when we opened up, if somebody asked you where you're standing, you can say what? I'm standing in the church, right? Right? When we dismiss and you go out and somebody asks you where you stand, I'm standing in the church, all right? You go outside, I'm standing on the sidewalk in front of the church, all right? A little bit later on this afternoon, I'm standing at... Where are you going to be standing? Where are you going to be standing? Where are you going to be sitting later on? So we see that this is deep. The congregation, the blessed man, where is his congregation? Where does he congregate? Not with sinners. Now again, we might occasionally pass through where sinners are, and we may occasionally find ourselves in positions where we have to be with sinners for a little while, but that's not our habit. That's not where we make it our habit of being. You know, I find that sometimes, and I'm not trying to reflect, you know, anybody's family, so I'm just going to talk about my family. I got my brother Emu. He'll testify to this.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series when visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is now author of 5 books. We also have a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. For more information on how you can order these powerful resources, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.